Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number two here on a Thursday afternoon on Danny and Dusty, where you're listening on 1080 AM. Watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. Love you. No Dusty Hero. He is possibly still flying in the...
En route.
Will Ortner in. Jeff Russ behind the glass. Thank you for joining us here. We appreciate you. I was in the building last night for the Portland Trailblazers taking on the Basketball Bundesliga basketball team. That's the BBL.
I did not know that the Blazers got a BBL.
That's a different BBL.
German BBL.
I didn't know that there were German BBLs.
I mean, look, they're more expensive. Europe's always more expensive. Unless you're going to Turkey, you get the hair job. Turkey's where you go to get the hair job. It's where it works.
Nothing's wrong with being bald. There's nothing wrong with it.
There is.
Like what, sir?
You're hairless.
Yeah, but that's what was
no longer an option. Speaking of hair.
You can take the pill.
Damani Kamara took out his braids last night, had a wonderful free-flowing flow. Just fantastic stuff. I asked him about it after the game, and he said, I'm going to switch it up. He's going to put the braids in, take them out, have some fun with it. His hair is as long as mine right now, but his is lusciously curly. I'm violently jealous. But the Portland Trailblazers did take on a team from the Basketball Bundesliga last night. They've a team featuring two potential lottery picks in the 2025 draft, and Noah Sengwe and Ben Seroff, both of whom impressed last night. I won't regale everybody with that. I'll have that on the Jack Ramsey's Patreon. Actually, I'll do the podcast tonight and probably mention them a little bit more in depth, but I think that's a little... little too far above the pale. What are we, 9 months away from the NBA lottery? But we'll get there. But the Portland Trailblazers did play last night. Anfernee Simons did not play. Jeremy Grant did not play. Shaedon Sharpe did not play. Robert Williams III. Matisse Thybulle. I believe that's everyone. The things to take away from preseason so far and what we have seen out of this team, kind of what to expect going forward. Number one, I think, is the biggest story out of preseason is that Tumani Kamara has leveled up in that he is looking like not only a solid role player, but he looks like he could potentially be a very high-level role player on a team that matters. What that means to the Portland Trailblazers is that they may have found a nice little gem in the deal that ultimately sent Damian Lillard to the Milwaukee Bucks last season. Two, has physically matured. He understands where he needs to be and what he needs to do better. His ability to make decisions quicker while not deviating outside of what the expectations are for him too often are pretty huge. Last night he had some turnovers, again, against a lesser team. That's where in the preseason, that's where you want to kind of try some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But his shot looks incredibly comfortable. Defensively, his intensity, his willingness to compete, his ability to cover basically 1 through 4, to pick up full court, to rebound, to be a cutter, to do the dirty work stuff, to work off the ball. It's all kind of leveled up. And that's a big thing for Portland. And it's to the point where with injuries currently standing, I tweeted this out last night, if Shaedon Sharpe is going to be out to start the season, Tumani Kamara should start. The starting lineup should be Anthony Simons, Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdia, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton. That's how solid two has been.
Is that more so because of how he plays, or is it also because of his fit with that group, or is it somewhere in between?
It's both, because Scoot and Ant just don't really mesh well together because Scoot needs the ball mm-hmm. so much. He has not developed the ability to play off the ball, and right. So if you've got Anthony Simons on the floor at the same time in the starting group, I'm not saying they can't play together, just starting the game, you want to try to balance things out, because what Anthony does, he is their best offensive player. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. It's the way he bends defenses. That's what enables other guys to have advantages.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he able to do that without the ball? Yes. But
It's not as grand.
It's particularly if Scoot Henderson's on the floor, because if now all of a sudden if Scoot has the ball and it's a drive and kick and it's kick out to Ant, Scoot's guy isn't going to go, I need to make sure I stay tight to Scoot.
They're because of his shooting woes he's had so far. That makes sense.
And he's just got to figure some stuff out. So they're just going to preload to Anthony, and the advantage gain disappears. With two, it's not that he's Ray Allen in the corner on the weak side. It's that he's probably a 36.5, 37, probably average to above average three-point shooter.
Okay.
In that he has the ability to attack closeouts, and if you gain an advantage and you kick it out to him, you're, at this point, I think you trust that he's probably going to take and make the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's taking and making the right decisions is the next step in process and growth for this franchise, for their young players.
Yeah.
And so I think they need to, as of right now, and this doesn't say it's like set in stone that Tumani Kamara starts forever. Number one, when Shaden comes back, it should be his spot. If he continues to show what I heard was coming out of this summer.
Okay.
But Scoot could also advance. And you've already seen Scoot Henderson through the preseason. In Seattle, Scoot Henderson was awful. Full stop. Awful. The decision making, the shot attempts. I mean, he shot 4-16. The turnovers were underwater. He looked overmatched. He looked like he was attacking without a plan. He wasn't getting back defensively. It was tough.
So then I want to ask about that, because I went to a couple games at the end of the year and I watched, and I want, as a Blazer fan, obviously, I want Scoot to be what he was hyped up to be. It seems like maybe the hype might have been a little bit off, or at least off at the start. He wasn't going to hit the ground running as much as people might have wanted. It felt like at the end of the year, he had turned a corner where he was taking better shots. His shot selection was better suited for him, and he was finishing a lot of those. It felt like he was having higher assist games. It felt like he was putting his teammates in positions to score. It felt like he was driving with a plan, and he had a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C, all depending on what the defense did. Why is there a step back? Is it just a bad game where the rookie stuff come back up and it's going to take him, you know, a couple weeks, but eventually that'll be completely out of his game? Or was he just going up against weaker competition at the end of the year, so he looked like he had
more,
made the
more
next
so
step?
The latter, but the big part of it is that growth isn't linear. You have the progression, regression, and then you two steps forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back, and you know, you get gains, but you take losses along the way. That's the big thing for me. And it's not as bad as Scoot was on Friday. He looked better on Sunday against the Kings. Now, it took him a little while to kind of get going, and most of the damage that he did was in the second quarter in about a five-minute stretch.
Okay.
And the Kings, my God, they might as well have just,
you back know, to the Queens?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, the level of sloppiness that they played with was, I mean, their own announcer was calling it disgusting. It was.
That's beautiful. We should have more announcers.
Tremendous stuff. And he did it with an NPR radio voice. That was the best part about it. But last night, Scoot ended up having a great stat line. He finished up with a 9 of 14. I think it was six assists. But what was interesting is I asked folks in the organization if Scoot was sick at halftime.
Yeah.
Because the effort, the intensity, and the energy were not there in the first half. It took, I think it was the 2 or 3 minutes to go in the second quarter, he finally started to show something. And you're playing, look, I get it. You're not playing an NBA opponent.
Right.
And I don't care about the box score stuff as much as, like, let me see what you're putting on tape.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Scoot is at a place in his development where he is behind the eight ball a little bit because of where he was drafted. And there is expectations that come with draft slotting. But there's also bonuses and things of that nature. Like, you get extra chances and opportunities because of draft slotting. That's just the nature of the beast. It's always going to be. But you can't – if you're the guy who needs to focus on development – your energy, your intensity, your give a damn, that can't ever be questioned. And that's been questioned a couple times this year for Scoot already. And look, it's the preseason. It doesn't mean it can't change, but it's something that's lingering in the back of my head of, like, look, man, you've got to make some advances. You don't have to turn into an all-star, but you need to make advances.
Mm-hmm.
And the box that should be automatically ticked of, like, hey, you're 19, 20 years old. You should bring the juice every night. Should not be something I'm going, where is he at?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my biggest question about him is that, and I think that's been the difference between him and Tumani in the preseason is that two's intensity, he's ready.
He's always going.
The regular season is here. You don't ever question where he's at mentally, physically, emotionally. He's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and part of it is that two is older, even though they've only been in the league the same amount of time.
Right.
Two's physically, mentally,
four
emotionally,
years of college.
Yeah, more mature. And I think there's two understands that. And I think that's what you're looking at. And so let Scoot come off the bench. Let him play with kind of a mixed group. Let him be on the ball a little bit more. Let him have a little bit more opportunity in that regard. Mm-hmm. We'll see them. I think we're going to get more of a dress rehearsal tomorrow night.
Okay.
As the Blazers have their first home NBA preseason game against an NBA opponent.
Not a BBL.
No BBLs in the building. Well, there'll be some BBLs in the building.
No, someone's got to go on a date after, right?
I mean, yeah. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And then Donovan Clingan, he's holding steady. Donovan Clingan stock watch. He's very big. He did block a shot last night without jumping.
That's awesome.
He was matched up against a big on the on Ohm's roster, who I wanted to see how big he was listed as. I was like, let me take a look. He was listed as 7 foot tall. He's 7 foot tall. Donovan Clingan is 7'6", because they saw them next to each other and he just dwarfed him.
That's
dwarfed him. And to be fair to Donovan, that has happened multiple times this year against guys that are huge. Ivica Zubac for the Clippers, Alex Len for the Kings. Like these guys that are like 7'1 plus, you know, big barrel chested, freaky, thick legged humans that you're just
strong
like.
Guys.
And you go, oh, Donovan's significantly bigger than those guys. And that's going to be the fun game this year. It's a bummer that Zach Edey exists in the sense of like.
He's bigger.
Because he's so much bigger, because he's legitimately 7'5". That you just play the game of like, look, here's Zach Edey next to this, because you could play with Donovan Clingan because he's so big.
I am excited, and I don't know how much this will really happen, but with Scoot coming off the bench, I'm excited to see how those two interact with each other and how they play together and how the Blazers use them. Because to me, whether Scoot's been disappointing or not, he's still, at this point, has to be thought of as a piece, or really a major piece, moving forward with what you want this franchise to be. I feel like Clingan has to be in that same boat of what you think about them moving forward, because they are your two most recent draft picks, right? Or at least your two most recent first round draft picks. I am excited as a Blazer fan to see how they play together. I don't want to see a lot of wins, right? You need to do everything that you can do.
I will say this right now. It is not something you have to worry about.
Good. I'm not worried about it then, but what I am worried about is how do they look together and do they improve as the season goes on? A guy like Tumani, I want to see him with Scoot as well. They're along the same age frame. How do they work well together? Because all the things that you've said about Tumani and him being, not saying that he's a possible trade piece, but there might be teams that are interested, especially at the deadline. I look at his age. I don't want that guy gone.
No.
He's
24 years old.
I want him around. There are some guys where, you know, if you get the right amount, you know, the right return for Grant.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Right? Tumani, that's a guy that I want to see him around. And so I want to see how he builds and how he reacts with Shaden, with Clingan, with Scoot.
No, it's going to be really interesting. Last night, I think you got to see a little bit of the play faster. Play in the open court. Denny Avdia threw 6 or 7 different lobs in the first half alone.
Excited to see Denny. Can't wait to see Denny.
Denny was super fun last night. And I'm interested to see how he looks against I know how he looks against NBA competition. But in the vein of like how he's able to set guys up against NBA competition tomorrow night. So we'll dive into that some more coming back the next week as the NBA season is less than a week away. It's here, ladies and gentlemen. No, it doesn't start during Christmas. Not on this show. It starts opening night.
Man.
You will not stop me. No, it's not happening. Not happening.
But what about the hot matching that'll be on at the same time?
Don't care. Basketball. But I will deviate from basketball here. Go back. Get back to some college football. The Oregon Ducks take on the Purdue Boilermakers. We'll dive into that matchup here for a quick little bit. I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time diving into Purdue. Hopefully, I'm not having to eat. Well, I mean, I don't work for Oregon, so it's not going to bother me if they lose, but hopefully, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and my co-host, Steph the Hero. I would hate for him to have to fly home after that loss. So we'll dive into that game here next on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Aaron Ducks and Dusty Hera are en route to West Lafayette. God, West Lafayette, I mean, look, I know they're stealing the name from somewhere else to begin with, which is what we do in America when we name our cities. We just steal it from somewhere else.
Is it not named after the French dude?
Yes, but I've been saying.
Okay, good. We're on the same page. I just got confused. Yeah.
But I hear West Lafayette, and I go full Cajun. Like,
see, I go full Hamilton.
I mean, just to me, West Lafayette sounds Cajun. Like now all I have is Channing Tatum doing Gambit.
I don't know that I. Oh, that's the new Wolverine.
Have
Deadpool.
Have you not seen it?
No, I went and saw Twisters instead. I'm going to see Deadpool when it comes out on streaming.
It's out.
Is it free?
No.
No.
Oh, then once it's free,
I don't know if it's ever going to be free because it's a.
Is it not Disney Plus?
No, it's Deadpool is and the
but
X-Men.
It's Marvel.
Yeah, you got the split between Fox and Marvel.
Oh, so this is
I think
like
the first
Spider-Man.
Two Deadpools are on Disney Plus though.
Did they move them over?
I think so.
I thought it all got moved over.
Well, there's some of them that aren't, like Spider-Man. Spider-Man's also a product that's still owned by Sony.
Mm-hmm.
So, I could be wrong, but I could have swore Deadpool Wolverine was not going to go to Disney
Plus.
Right,
well,
but I hope it does because I loved it.
I'll pay for it eventually. I do want to see that. Not
there
yet.
Anyways.
I watched Twisters instead.
I haven't seen it yet.
Glenn Powell, dude. I got a huge man crush on Glenn Powell now.
There's the Glenn Powell.
And Daisy like, something. And then, ironically.
I hear Daisy and all I think is Fuentes. And I think Jeff Ross and I are probably on the same boat there.
I don't. That reference.
Wrong with Daisy Fuentes.
That reference means nothing to me.
Really?
And then the other guy. Daisy Edgar Jones. To? The other guy's Anthony Ramos, who plays a character in Hamilton. He's not Lafayette, though.
Timothy
this,
Adams?
That name also means
Richard Marks. No, name. Richard Marks.
Richard Marks. There we go. Yes.
But yeah, was she a VJ?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
MTV.
Oh.
That's right. You don't remember that.
Like, what's her name? Daisy Marks?
No,
Daisy Fuentes.
Daisy Fuentes.
Fuentes?
Yeah. Daisy Fuentes. Like, VJ was like the highest.
Oh, she got familiar.
Non-actress, actor, / singer, songwriter.
That was the zenith.
She's
old.
What?
She is old.
She's 57, dog.
That's old. That's 30 years older than me, dude. That's old.
God. Bless America.
I didn't. She was like a news reporter? What's going on? And then she was on MTV?
She was a smoke show.
Yeah, but okay.
She was a host.
Oh, so she did like Total Recall Live or whatever?
No, VJ.
What's that? Video jams?
You got one video.
Video jockey.
Instead
of DJ, it was a DJ.
I know. At one point, MTV actually played music like their name says they do. But they haven't done that in my lifetime.
Do you know who Carson Daly is?
And Fred Durst? And see them argue over who? I can't say the rest of that lyric.
Do you know who Carson Daly is?
I'm vaguely aware of him. Like, he did, like, Total Recall or whatever for MTV. He did, like, their big music video show. I understand.
TRL. TRL, yes. Yeah. Total Request Live.
Request. Why was I saying Recall?
But I know. Schwarzenegger and Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Fair.
But did you see the thing, the documentary on that? It was all fake.
Really?
Like they
TRL?
Oh yeah. I'm shocked. None of the voting actually worked.
Yeah.
Like it was the record companies that were like juicing numbers that, like, to push things out. Like, oh yeah. Yeah.
This is my surprised face.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it was like, because I remember their songs like skyrocketing up TRL, and I'm just like, this song sucks. Why is this number this 5 in the country right now?
Richard Marx was just like a solo singer. Is that what this guy's deal is?
He was a musician, singer in the late 80s, early 90s.
Is he a big deal? Like, should I know his songs?
He had a couple of big, decently sized hits.
He's a country guy?
Well, he wasn't then.
Yeah. Well, it says pop rock and soft rock, but then
maybe under country and soft rock.
He had a song with Kenny Rogers.
Well, he probably went by Dick Marx.
That would be. I mean, that's...
Dickie Marx is a definitely a country name.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he could have like a mullet. Because back then, 90s, like that's perfect mullet time.
And he goes on tour with his cousin Skid.
Skid Marx. Nice. I love that.
Or Ro. Yeah.
I've heard of them.
That was the punk version.
Look, these guys.
Sebastian Bach. Punk, right?
Yeah. He had some pop rock. Look, I'm just saying, I don't know. I can't relate to your MTV stuff here.
Yeah, the Vancouver Vortex line. VJs back then were the influencers of today. Yes, but they were limited, and we got to shame them.
Because to shame influencers.
No. There's so much. Yes, you can. Do. Well, don't get me wrong. I brought up the influencers in the wild. Have you ever seen that page on Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a treat.
The Costco guys.
But the thing is, back then, they were limited. Like, and if they weren't good, if they sucked, they took them out.
Yeah, like, but influencers now have their, like, they're all by themselves.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we got to kind of like survivor them. We kind of got to like vote them off the island. And then they would never reappear. They would just disappear into obscurity.
So Daisy was good then.
Yes.
Daisy was a top influencer.
She was a top influencer, and she was a top hot.
So then...
She's around for a long time.
So as
was,
an
was Carmen Electra, was she a guest VJ?
So is Carmen Electra an influencer?
Yeah, she for
did
that.
She start there
I thought
on
she
Baywatch.
Was a singer.
I thought that was Yasmin.
That's Yasmin Bleeth.
Oh, they both did, yeah.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Bleeth.
Close enough. I just only know that because of Friends.
Give a basketball a watch.
I've seen parts of it. I didn't realize that was her.
Really?
Well, I just heard Chandler talk about her on Friends. That's the extent of Baywatch that I understand. God, I've seen the new Baywatch.
I forget the year difference.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the comparison.
Yeah,
Yasmin Bleeth is your Alexandra Daddario.
Ah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, that's like the direct line. Okay.
That's great.
So.
Okay. All right. I will give her credit then.
Now you have fundamental understanding.
So then what is Daisy Fuentes? Is Daisy Fuentes the Addison Rae of your time?
No.
What's going on here?
More Eva Mendez. We're like did some stuff, but like she's cool now. Like she
doesn't really, yeah.
Like Eva Mendez
in a couple movies.
Mendez is married to Gosling, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And she basically said, I'm good. I don't need to do anything anymore. That's basically Daisy Fuentes. She did a bunch of like hosting and stuff. Like, I've completely derailed the segment.
That's okay. Yeah. I like learning. It's like history class.
Yeah.
Except I'm learning about things that I kind of care about. Eva Mendez was in more things than we give her credit for.
Oh, no. That's what I'm saying. She went and did a bunch of stuff, but she didn't have to be at like the front of everything. She did a bunch of hosting, I think.
Eva Mendez? I don't know.
Not Eva Mendez. Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, I was like, Eva Mendez was too fast and too furious.
She did a ton, and then she stopped.
The other guys, Ghostwriter, mm-hmm. The Place Beyond the Pines.
And of course, the
Training Day.
Oscar award winning.
She won an Oscar.
Hitch. No.
No.
God, no.
I was like, isn't that just a bad movie about like Will Smith trying to marry people?
Basically.
I was going to say, I've never gotten around to that. She's 50.
Yeah. Thanks, Will.
I just, it the, was surprising.
The disdain
it
of which you say 50 and it 57, it's like, okay, dude.
It surprised
me. It almost sounds like more of an accusation.
Right? She's 50? Yeah. You know what? Google Halle Berry. Do you know how old she is?
I'm well aware. Dude, Selma Hayek's like 60 almost.
Yes.
I'm well aware. It just catches me off guard. God. I get confused.
I do kind of feel sorry for your generation because
there's too many hots.
Well, not only that, your hots are not being allowed to age. Like they aged out.
I don't know, dude. Selma Hayek's still kicking.
Don't get me wrong. She's holding on. That's what I mean.
She's like, still kicking, dude.
You're not like the Jennifer Anistons, the Selma Hayek's, the
well, they're rich.
Yeah, I know, but like they find ways now, like to stay hot. They aren't
they're
like
rich. They pay for stuff.
They don't get to fall off and disappear. It's sad.
Yeah,
there has to be room for the top. That way, it's cyclical.
I know, but I've been working on this theory. I think that my influencers are like your version of like reality TV stars, and I think my influencers, except for like the top dogs, they're starting to get phased out. Like once you start going to the Costco guys as being the top influencers, you've gone too far
for sure.
And there's going to be a course correction here coming soon. And there's going to be some people that are making money on TikTok that aren't going to be making a lot of money. I think Hawk to a Girl is like the last made a crazy internet meme and is now relatively wealthy and famous.
Oh, don't. It's not. It's never going to stop. The TikTokification's never going to stop. And shout out to the Vancouver Vortex line, who is just throwing different things that Eva Mendes is in, including Texas Chainsaw Massacre and, of course, the other guys.
Other guys, she's fantastic. I'll never watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
You'll never watch it?
No, I'm not a scary movie guy.
What?
No, I don't like scary movies.
Oh, God.
Freaks me out.
Screw it. All right. We're past it, so we're just going to go worst day on the web. We'll be here at Ducks and Purdue. That's how important that game is as far as previewing.
It's important. The spoiler makers.
Yeah, there you go.
You got to beat
them. Catch our live coverage tomorrow at 1, starting with Ducks game day.
And then make sure you stick around for the post-game show.
Look, I'm just saying we don't need a ton of preview from me and you on this one because we're going to get right into it on game day tomorrow.
Run to bow.
Coming up next, we do have Worst Day on the Web, of which I have a general understanding of what's going to happen, but I have been told I need to get this raw. But first, here's the big kahuna of the Sports and Update.
They're doo-doo.
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
It's an age-old question, ladies and gentlemen. If you're at a friend's house and you plug that toilet, what do you do? That is what Stephen A. Smith and J.J. Watt were asked. We've got Stephen A. Smith's answer here first.
At Greg, 1-667-693-5420. Stephen A. Smith, if you're at a friend's house and clog the toilet and there's no plunger, what do you do? Very, very simple. You close the toilet bowl. You call your friend and say, your damn toilet's clogged. I'm very, very sorry that I got up in there, but you didn't tell me your toilet was going to clog. Do you have a plunger? If not, I suggest you go get one because I didn't know I was going to clog the damn thing. I didn't know your toilet was going to work. My bad. But that's what happened. Okay? You ain't got no choice. What if you sit up there and just leave and then they come into their house and they see you clog their toilet and you never told them? That's very rude. That's very rude and it's very nasty and you don't want to be responsible for something like that. Okay? So I would tell you that. All right? Okay? But that's it. That's where I'm going with that.
I love how he's basically blaming the homeowner for not knowing that Stephen A. Smith was going to clog his toilet.
He's
going to
give him the double decker.
I agree with him. It is kind of your fault as a homeowner for not having a plunger. You should have a plunger as a homeowner.
We have one of those little stands next to the toilet that has the three different types of obstruction clearing tools.
You have three different types.
It came with a toilet. It was like
it was an accessory you could buy, like for an extra 15.
Yeah, no, we also have the bolt-on bidet. So we're trying that out before we get to the
You're experimenting with bidets?
Yeah, we're gonna
meringues.
We're gonna move on up to the heated seat butt squirter.
Ooh.
But you know, it's got the traditional plunger.
Yeah.
And then it's got I don't know the actual name for it. The plunger that has it's like a nipple. It's like an inverted plunger. So that you like get it in, you can get the suction correct. And then the brush. The industrial brush.
I have the brush. I have a brush and I have a plunger. But the brush isn't for clogs. It's for cleaning things.
You've just never had that issue, apparently.
I've never used the brushes for cleaning.
Yeah, I cleaned the toilet this morning. Good for me.
It's not me. It's not my wife. I'm just saying. I used a brush to take care of a clog before.
I think you're using that brush wrong.
Look,
as a known toilet clogger,
something needed to be broken up.
You're using it wrong. You're not supposed. That's for cleaning.
I know. I'm well aware of this.
That's like spitting on your toothbrush and then brushing your teeth. That's what you're doing.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
again,
it is.
And again, this wasn't mine. This was at my house, and somebody who was very, very, very intoxicated left something very destroyed when I was in the Air Force in my toilet. And like, there was nothing that was going to break up either the mass of toilet paper or the loaf of crap in the toilet.
What do you eat?
I don't know what he ate.
Is that just hardtack? Like, what are they feeding you in the military?
I mean, not
questions.
Not things that digest simply.
But there's never a moment.
Brother, I tried to flush this thing like 5 times and it just wouldn't break apart.
I was a 315 pound
this
man.
This is like a pine cone.
I was a large man.
Hey, see the Clorox roll?
Yes.
I mean,
that's foul.
The inside of that.
I was a very, very large man who took large dumps.
It looked like the burrito cart burrito
There's
that Jeff
never
Ross got yesterday.
Once been a time.
If you would have picked it up and dropped it, it would have made a thud. Yeah.
There's never once been a time, though, as a large dumping man, where I've looked at the brush and been like, this is my only exit out of here. That's not what it's used for.
I'm just saying, look, what would you use in place of again, like a brush that had like wire bristles on it? Like it's like,
no,
are you going to use the plunger to break it up?
You got to use.
What, are you going to go to the kitchen and grab a knife?
No, you know what?
Get an actual turd cutter?
No, you know what you do? You take a view of the surroundings.
Yeah.
You got to take a visual look around.
And guess what has been in that toilet before?
No, before you do that.
No.
Before pants come off and a seat is taken, you have to take.
No, this man clearly did not know he was about to give birth.
You have to take a scouting report of the area. You are a military man. Do you just run into your missions blind? No, you don't.
Look, again, this wasn't...
I thought you were a recon guy.
No,
you
this
need
isn't
to have
me.
Recon.
This isn't me.
I don't think that your friend is a good soldier.
We still don't know to this day who it was who did this.
So yes, you do.
No, we don't. We don't.
They do.
No, this person does.
And they're going to die with
it. But this is a house...
Because you have to in that moment.
Again, this is a house. 5 of us had the house together. It was a big old house. We all lived together. It was a big old house party. And...
He did it in a party?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who poops in a party? You can't poop in a party.
I mean...
It's like pooping at a bar. Can't do that.
I mean, no, man. Sometimes you just got to go.
No. Look, then you go home.
No, man. Look, you can't.
Can't take a road game at a party?
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
You can.
No.
I have no problem with that. I mean, that's
She's really a party pooper.
That's exactly what it was. But no, it was like one of those industrial, like wire brush brushes. And it had to be used to break up this mass of humanity of toilet paper and doo-doo.
Jennifer poops at parties?
Yes.
It was Jennifer?
Yeah. If that came out of
CJ told her he was trying.
Look, man, if that came out of a woman, that is a digestive tract that sex has not seen in a while. But, yeah, no. I mean, look, I did the best that we... could do with what was available.
With the doo-doo?
Yeah.
With the Purdue doo?
Mm-hmm. So.
It's terrifying.
And see, Vancouver Vortex line, exactly what Stephen A. is saying. You just don't leave that behind. Look, it would have been left behind somewhere. I tell you what, it looked like somebody left a baby behind, so it's not a man, but, you know, it looked like a baby was left behind. But Stephen A. Smith wasn't the only one that was asked this. We also need to get the other side of this with noted large man, J.J. Watt.
Yeah. You roll up your sleeve and you stick that hand down there and you do what you have to do. Then you wash that off. You do what you have to do. You don't leave the toilet clogged at your friend's house. You take care of that. You wash your hands thoroughly, maybe 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
You dry them off and then you go back out to that party.
No. No.
Bro, he's raw dogging the toilet?
No, you don't. No. No. No.
That man is... Look,
no.
J.J. Watt's like, look, man...
No.
We had some wild stuff happen in Wisconsin. Every now and then you had like said that's the thing is it's
no
big old beefy linemen are going they got the Chipotle burrito down there like nope I'm gonna roll my sleeve up and grab this 7-pound burrito that I just left in the toilet and just what I mean you'd huck it out the window
that's a D line thing no O linemen don't do that that's disgusting
that's because you guys don't process anything solid
no
you're just
he's a disgusting he's a father. He needs to be better as a father.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's probably seen, like, look, man, have you ever seen what babies do?
No, and I won't anytime soon.
Buddy.
You can't stick your hand in the toilet. It's like if you drop your phone in the toilet, the phone's gone. Flush it down the toilet. It's dead. Go buy a new one. If anything around you touches the toilet, it's gone to you, it's dead to you. Throw it away, it's gone. Don't touch it.
I would be more likely to put my hand in a toilet in this situation.
No shot.
Hear me out. And I know how insane this is going to sound. I am more likely to do what J.J. Watt said than to retrieve a phone from a toilet and never use it again.
No.
You would...
I'm not sticking my foot or my hand... I'm not sticking any body part of mine in the toilet.
I'm just telling you right now.
Not happening.
Here, gun to your head.
I die. Kill me.
You have to. No, there's a gun to your head. One of two things has to happen. You either have to grab the phone out of there and use it again, or clean it out with your hand and rinse your hand off.
Third option, death.
No.
Death.
No.
No.
Lifetime servitude.
No, is there poop in there when I drop my phone in
yes.
there? Death. I die so fast. Murder me in the streets.
Because I'd much rather rinse my arm off and be like, take like a scoring brush to my arm and like take a layer of skin off my hand than put a phone on my face that has been in the poop water.
No. I'm not dealing with poop water. It's why I don't swim in the Willamette. I won't deal with it. It's not happening. It'll never. No.
One of these times we're gonna drug Will and stuff in a sack and push him in the Willamette.
No, I'd burn, I'd die.
Burn your skin off.
I'm not doing that. Like, there's no way to get that feeling off of me. It's like when you see it, like when you see a spider that's on you, and then you get it off, but now you think there's always spiders on you for a little bit. It would be like that, but with poop all the time. No.
Vancouver Vortex time, near Joint Base Louis Bacor, there was a Chinese restaurant that advertised $1 Chinese food right off I-5. I can only imagine that place doomed many, many of toilets. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. Ooh, worse, ever had to call housekeeping for a clogged toilet? It's embarrassing. They refused to let me take care of it. I gave them a 20.
I've had to do that before.
Had to call.
They just come drop off the plunger.
Yeah, there's no worse walk of shame than that.
Yeah,
than being like, hey man, I need the plunger.
Yeah,
that's a shame that they don't have plungers in.
Do you go down to the lobby or do you make the phone call?
You call.
It was the call.
You call.
Yeah,
you call. You can't have that shame.
You want them to bring the toilet, the plunger,
and you clearly wait until they leave. It's leave it at the door. I'll be there in a moment. You don't show your face. If you clog a toilet, like...
I've never clogged a hotel toilet. Like, or any place I've ever been
to. Nah, dude, there's great shame. You bring shame to everyone around
your family.
You. Yeah, like, the three things my parents would say to me when I'd go to friends' houses when I was a kid was make good choices, don't embarrass the family, and have fun. That's breaking rule number two.
Oh, man.
You can't embarrass the family. If anything, and you have to go down and get it, you have to go like Cleveland Browns paper bag over your head. You can't show your face. You can't do it.
Does number two work for?
That's insane.
That's a great reference.
Coming next, I just have, I just not on the dock. I just have, we have to talk about the story because it's absolutely insane. On ESPN, the front page, they buried the lead in a manner that I'm going to read you the tagline. Snowboarder accused of running cocaine ring. There's so much more to this. Coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Vancouver Ford text line, as always, has thoughts.
Yes, they do.
I remember back at this late 90s, one of our waiters at a hotel stuck his hand in the toilet to unclog it. You know, and this happens. He got stuck by a syringe. Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, to have an open wound in poop water. Like, that, like, literally makes my stomach tighten to the point of me making a mess in a toilet. Like, I don't know what to do with that. That sounds terrible. The first time I stayed at my now wife's place, I clogged the toilet. I had to take the walk of shame and ask her for a plunger.
That's my worst nightmare, dude. I got to be in love. That's like a 6 month like thing. Like, all right, we've been it for 6 months.
I tested the boundaries early.
I do not.
Mine was like week two.
As far as I'm going to go is like, you might get Dutch ovened, but that's about it.
No, I wanted to know, like, hey, I'm going to be in here for about 10 minutes. Are you going to come looking for me?
Am I going to get a knock?
If I tell you, hey, I'm going to go to the bathroom, are you going to trust that I'm an adult and not come check on me and make sure that I fell in? Because guess what? Yeah, I might be watching a video, but also I might have had something that's not agreeing with me right now. Are you going to let me live? Or are you going to, hey, are you okay? You know, give me the dumb and dumber and be like, I hope you're not going number two. The toilet doesn't work.
I have a friend sends me Snapchat every time they're on the toilet.
Mm. It's like me when I'm
don't know why I'm still their friend.
No, I when you see me arguing on Twitter, I'm on the toilet. I have nothing else to do. What else am I going to do?
That's kind of funny.
I
don't like it when they do it, and I'm going to continue to refer to them as they.
Mm. Not going to name and shame?
Not a fan of their actions. Mm. Please stop.
Please stop.
You've been asked and told multiple times, I don't like it.
Are you getting the shot of the inside of the underwear?
No. It's like they take a selfie and like you can kind of see stuff in the background where it's like, okay, it's very clear.
A stall.
Yeah. Or like, you know, hey, why is there a Febreze thing just floating right above your shoulder? What could this be? Mm. And they're always shocked that I can figure it out. Like, don't send me a Snapchat while you're on the toilet. How'd you know? Like, well, I'm not a great detective, but I can
figure this out.
Most of
the fact is you're curling your lip.
Why is your face so red?
Why are you squinting and look like your lips are pursed? But again, shout out to Vancouver for text line. Look, this is the most crucial part of advice.
Yeah, it's so true.
When you're playing an away game, you got to flush as soon as it hits the water. You can't let the...
Got to know where the Febreze is, too.
That way, look, even if you have to do the courtesy flush... Even if you have to do the double flush.
You got to know.
You just got to know, because if you don't, you may pay for it.
You got to do this too.
The problem is if you do that, though, you might put yourself in a world of hurt, because if you don't have awareness, you may be leading to a quick flood.
You also...
If you flush without looking.
You also have to do this, though. Beforehand, you got to go number one. So you understand what kind of water pressure you're dealing with.
Fair. That's the double flush.
It's the thing you got to be aware of.
You go pee like a half hour, and then you hold the poop for a little while, and then
you understand. Because then you can know, like, can I play an away game? Can I not?
Yeah, because if you get that, you flush that toilet, and it just kind of loosely falls. The water just kind of falls down the toilet. It's like,
can't. That's a no-go. Because
you got to understand what kind of engine you're running.
Yeah.
Are you running?
And you know.
Are you running synthetic, or has it been a little while since you had the oil change?
You
might have some parts breaking off in there.
You know going into. Like, no one is surprised about what's happening.
Somebody's
when
trying to eat
there.
Lunch right now. Is like, I hate you guys so
You guys
much.
Are the worst. Yeah. Look, I'm just saying, you know what you're dealing with when you go, and so you have to test out the system to see if it can handle what you're doing. And if it can't handle what you're doing, you got to go somewhere else.
That's what happens. All right, coming up in hour number three. After the Oregon Ducks beat the Ohio State Buckeyes, there was a pretty seismic shift in the Heisman campaign odds. What does that mean for Dylan Gabriel and the Oregon Ducks coming up here next on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan?
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.